All right, Jetta Cameron, John Rich, 94 WIP. So tons of reaction, obviously, from the Eagles win, and they do get to 3-2, which is important. I mean, one of the things you got to do is you got to play good ball, obviously, to be a good team and really do special things. But you also just got to get wins, and thankfully they got a third win yesterday after two losses in a row, second and third week. So that's good to see. Also, some Phillies conversation, and I'm sure we'll have more as the week goes on, because at some point we do expect, you know, an answer here from John Middleton on what's going on. And as we alluded to earlier, a really tremendous article by Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia, of course, the you know, website.com. And again, reading from what Salisbury had written earlier today, an article posted this morning to their website, this is what Jim Salisbury had written. If Middleton's investigation of Kapler's worthiness of another season leading the Phillies on-field ops were a football field, it would be in the red zone because the decision is expected any time now. Maybe later on Monday. Tuesday feels like a realistic target. Wednesday at the latest. So, you know, obviously what Salisbury is reporting here is this thing's coming down to it soon. And another point he has in here is essentially that Klintak is safe and that the decision that hinges now is all about Kapler. So we're waiting and we'll continue to wait. And we just know that, John, how tough do you think it'll be if John Middleton's mindset is to bring Kapler back? How tough is that right now? I mean, he can do it. He can do it. It's not like saying I want to get 1 + 1 = 3, which is impossible. He can say Gabe Kapler's my manager, but in this marketplace, given the conversation, given the desire to sell season tickets, given the desire to create buzz over the next 6 months. How much do you think, James, how much do you think that Middleton's indecisiveness in that he did not say right from the jump on Monday after the season, all right, here's the deal, Kapler's my manager. I understand everyone's frustrated. I, too, am frustrated. This was unacceptable this year. This was not Gabe Kapler's fault. I believe in him. I really believe with better players, he can lead my team in the postseason. That's not what Middleton did. Middleton's on this whole, you know, it's like a four corners offense thing in basketball, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. John, James, in light of how he's handled it, how bad do you think it would be for the Phillies if they now decide to keep Kapler?
I don't think it's salvageable. I don't think you can do that. And I don't understand how John Middleton can feel like this will work, period. Like, I understand what the article says. That everyone's safe except for Kapler.
Yep.
But if you're John Middleton and you had to go above everyone's head to fire John Mailey, if you had to, you know, go above everyone's head to reposition Chris Young in the organization, like, why is it if you believe Kapler's not the guy and you have your GM telling you, I want this guy, why is that GM safe? Like, you're John Middleton. You're the owner. You know something is amiss. You know you just spent $500 million and your team won one more game than the season before. That is broken. Your farm system is decimated, despite the fact that you just drafted at the top of the MLB draft for several years there.
Yep.
The guy responsible for that is telling you, I want this guy. If I'm John Middleton, I say, wait a second. I don't. It didn't work. What makes you good enough either? Like, I'm hoping that something like that occurs.
Yeah, but we're being told that's not the deal.
We're being told, but it's not definitive. How can you possibly plan to sell this to the Philadelphia public?
Here's a key line again from this story on, you know, by Jim Salisbury. In one of the early paragraphs, he ends the paragraphs by saying, and I'm reading right from a quote, the answers have left him, meaning Middleton, the answers have left him focusing squarely on Kapler. Though another season of mediocrity and disappointment like this last one will have him focusing higher up the organizational chain next year. I believe Salisbury is being told, I don't think this is just intuition,
right.
I think he's being told Klintak's safe.
He's got
one
more year
of these. Klintak's out next year if this happens again. James, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, I agree with Richie, obviously, but look, I don't know how you bring. Again, he's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't in what we just talked about. If he's going to say, well, Matt, I don't really care what you say, Kapler's got to go, that's one end. Or I agree with my GM on bringing Kapler back, in which case, if he brings Kapler back, this fan base is going to lose their minds. I don't think it will be a tenable situation. I think Gabe Kapler will be booed next year. I think it would be really bad from a perception standpoint for this fan base if they just bring everyone back. Yeah. I don't think you could do
it's
that.
It's been poorly handled. And I wanted Kapler back from the beginning, but I recognize it's been poorly handled because as a business, to sell it to the fan base, this is not selling to the fan base effectively. It's just not. I mean, there's what these teams should hire me. John, why don't they hire me? I mean, seriously. I mean, I could tell
well,
it real quick.
Because they make mistakes, obviously.
I would have told the Flyers 25 years ago, get a goalie. Took them a long time to find. I think they actually got a goalie. I was really impressed. 25 years ago, I would have told them to get a goalie. Let's go to the phones. Michael in Delaware. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, how's it going?
Super.
Good, good. Question. Listen, why are fans stressing out when the defense scores two touchdowns? I mean, what do you want the defense to do? Intercept the ball, take a knee, and let the offense come on?
I agree
come
with
on.
You, man.
Let's stress out, all right? Another thing, John, I want to ask you a question. Listen, when the quarterback slides, he's not to be touched. Is that correct?
Right.
Now, they say when he dives, he should not be touched either, right?
Right.
They said it's the exact same thing. Is that correct?
No, I don't think that's correct.
I don't think it's exactly
No, I don't
same.
Think that's correct, Michael. Like, for instance, at the goal line, if a quarterback dives forward, the defenders can touch the quarterback. You don't have to just let him dive for free. You're allowed to you're allowed to stop his I mean, yes, you're allowed to touch him.
Okay. That's what I was wondering because on TV they said it's the exact same thing. And I know if you hit a quarterback when he slides, that's a penalty. So if you hit a quarterback when he's diving and Carson Wentz's knee hit because they touched him. Otherwise, it would have been a 2-point conversion. I just wanted to make that, you know, just make that clear.
All right. I got you. Michael, appreciate the phone call.
Hey, and in answer to your question, Michael, why are we stressing? Because that was a vacation prior to a historically difficult period in our schedule where we have to go on the road for three games in a row. And then the games after those three games on the road in a row, which are tough, the Vikings, Cowboys, and Bills all on the road, they're all good teams. Then after that, we got the Bears, the Patriots, and the Seahawks.
That's brutal 6 weeks.
Six games.
Yeah.
It's a murderer's row.
Yeah, it's a brutal stretch. Let's talk to Lauren is with us. What's going on, Lauren?
I'm saying to my friend, I don't know if they want me to talk or not. Do you need me to see something?
Yeah. Lauren, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
Hello, Lauren.
So this is so funny. Oz Perlman, first of all, I want you to know I am a Philly girl. I grew up here, and I've lived in New York for 26 years. My brother got married here this weekend. I am driving back in the Uber from the wedding brunch.
Wow.
And you said, does anybody know Oz Perlman?
Yeah.
This mentalist is the real deal, Lauren. I saw him on Friday. He's the real deal.
So it's so funny that you say that because we're afraid to be in the elevator with him because we think he'll read our mind.
Wow.
Well,
so mentalist is different from magician.
Yeah.
Mentalist is totally different from magician, and I'll tell you why. A mentalist works with your mind. A magician has tricks and they, you know, dazzle you, but it's all sleight of hand. A mentalist is all mental. It's in your mind. They are manipulating you and making you think things.
So it's mental sleight of brain.
Lauren, can he really read our mind or does it just seem like he can?
Joe, come
on,
man.
He has cues and we all do things that you don't realize. When
right.
We look at each other, we look down or our hands or whatever, the intonation of our voice. You can tell where somebody's from. You know I have a Philly accent or if I don't. And he can, you know, pick those things up. And then there's a great article, actually, in this week's New Yorker magazine about another mentalist, Darren Brown, who has a show on Broadway, and gives a little some of the tricks of the trade, if you guys want to read that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I will say, he was very clear that he is reading you to try to then indicate he's reading your mind. That he's,
so
yes.
When it's so funny, because when he's home, and he's not working, and we all want him, you know, to perform tricks for the kids. We live in a small building, and
so
they have a young family.
You know him personally?
They're neighbors, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He lives upstairs from me.
Oh,
he has a lovely family, and but, you know, when he's off, he's off. But I will tell you this. He went to the University of Michigan, and I'm a Penn State girl, and we haven't had that conversation.
Oh, boy. There you go. All right, well, Lauren, tell him he's got a fan in Philly.
All right, guys, go Eagles.
Thank you so much. You got it. All right, there you go.
I can't believe you asked her, is he really reading my mind?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But no. I want to be clear about this. He was
we know.
No. He was very clear that he's reading, as she indicated, cues from you.
Of course he is.
But it's still
he's reading your mind.
James,
like, you thought he could actually see inside your mind and what you're thinking?
James, it still makes no sense that he can arrive at specific answers on things. It makes no sense. You would have to have been in the room. You weren't in the room.
Give me an example.
I know what these things
are. I'll give you
man.
An example. The whole crowd, everybody, about 250 people were asked to think of someone, anyone dead or alive, that's famous. Okay, we all think of a person. Person I thought of was George Washington. I was not called on. Okay? Five people were called on. The first three people that he called on, he's going back and forth, he's bantering. First three people, he said, after a couple minutes, one, two, three, he got them all right. He picked out who that person's person was, the second person's person was, the third person's person was. Now, how'd he do it, John? How'd he do it?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't know how he did it either.
He didn't read their mind.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't read their mind. That I'm pretty sure of.
Let's go to Drew and Ambler. I'm done with these two. Drew, help me out here, my man.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Drew.
What's up, Drew?
You know what? Eagles fan, you just can't win. You can't lose. Damn if you do, damn if you
totally. Don't. They win a game by 25 points. People complain. What is this?
If they lost, they would have been like, oh, man, the Eagles lost. Oh, they suck. Carson Wentz is a bum, you know. But now they won. They just can't just accept the win. And another thing too, I want to make a comment on what you guys stated. If it's 3rd and 33, throw the damn ball. Why are you running it? What's
totally.
The point?
Yeah, totally.
I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, by running it, it's almost like you're putting that running back at risk. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're not. You're conceding.
You're conceding.
And and Doug, what part of what we love so much about Doug is his aggressiveness, and he refuses to concede, and then all of a sudden he'll do that, the draw on 3rd and 40.
I've never played football, so you guys got to help me out with something. So why is it that coaches are always the one to get blamed when the players are the one that signed the big contract, the $1 million? The multi-million-dollar contract—they're the one that's on the field playing.
Yeah, ask Gabe Kapler. He'll, you know.
You have offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. You have quarterback coaches. You got these players. They should go out there and perform to their standards.
Well, here's the one thing, Drew. Here's the one thing I'd say, and it's a good question, and it's a debate we've had many times in sports, and we'll always have.
Coaches get paid a lot too.
They get paid a lot, and sometimes their schemes are really bad schemes. Chip Kelly being an example. Chip Kelly had many of the same players the Eagles won a Super Bowl with. They had many of the same guys. Not all, but many of the same guys. And, of course, Carson was different. Don't get me wrong. There's massive differences. But you also had, you know, Jason Peters and Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson. And, you know, I mean, you did. And but the scheme that Chip was running was so asinine that it obviously, you know, created problems for the squad. All right, 888-729-9494. Let's go out right now on the Swartz-Culleton gas line. If you're injured at work, get Justice. Call Swartz-Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. He played just a tremendous game yesterday. Probably the best defensive performance, since he's joined the squad. It's got to be. Mr. Rodney McLeod back there as a safety yesterday, all over the football field. Rodney, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Rodney, was that one as fun as it looked?
Nah, yeah, that was a good one, man. played, I think, complete team ball yesterday in all three phases of the game, which helped us walk away with the win.
Rodney, your performance, I thought, was particularly standout. I mean, are you feeling like you're just totally on top of your game right now?
I'm pretty locked in. I think it's just, you know, me taking it, you know what I'm saying, one game at a time, just focusing on the next game, next opponent, and locking in the film room and then, you know, applying it to the field. I think, you know, just credit to, you know, how I'm studying the game and practicing throughout the week.
How much more are you guys blitzing now compared to the last couple seasons?
It's all been kind of situationally done. And, you know, all depends on our opponent and kind of what Jim's seeing on film, really. And just looking at film and who the Jets have played and kind of what other teams have done to them that was effective, we felt like bringing pressure and, you know, disguising a lot and just, you know, giving them a variation of of coverages would help us win. And it did that. I mean, we were able to get, you know, 10 sacks, a few turnovers, and few touchdowns to help us win. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That was an incredible game to be a part of defensively.
I was, yeah. Very rare that you see production defensively like that. How much of yesterday was good Eagle defense and how much was bad Jet offense?
I mean, you know, it's a National Football League, man, and, you know, guys are suited up for a reason and get paid for a reason. So I think you just got to, you know, tip your hat to us really for, you know, preparing well, man, and locking in, kind of going out with a dominating, like, type of attitude and paying attention to detail and executing. It's hard to lock in for all four quarters the way that we did and each and every snap. So yeah. It's credit to guys on the team.
Walk us through your interception.
So that play right there, it was in the middle of the field. Me and Tadeo were kind of showing a little disguise. One of us actually kind of had the runner back there. But, yeah, got back to the middle of the field, kind of read the quarterback. Fletcher puts pressure on the quarterback, and I was there for the interception.
What was going through your mind after the ball was in your hands?
Really, it was me trying to gather and put my mouthpiece back in first.
Your mouthpiece was out?
Yeah, it was a little loose. I don't really know how that happened. Trying to really get my mouthpiece in before I start running. But once you get the ball in hand, I mean, the goal is, the objective is to score, get some points on the board. Kind of wanted to do what Nate did, but came up a little short right there.
Yeah, you had something going, though, for a while. I mean, did that take you back to, like, much earlier in your lifetime when you'd get to carry the ball?
Yeah, I mean, it does. You always joke about it in the room, what each of us would do when we do get the ball in our hands and, you know, who has the best vision. And, and you know, so it did take me back. I wish I could have gotten to the end zone, but there'd be more opportunities later on down the line.
Yeah, it was close, man. Valiant effort. Walk us through your slot blitz near sack.
Yeah, it was a blitz that we kind of have been calling throughout the game a little bit, and you know Jim was doing a good job at kind of switching it up, and came in, man. It really shocked me that I was so free, and we talked about it all week that there are going to be opportunities where we are free and just make the layup.
Yeah,
and I missed it, and I'll hear about that as I already have. I think I teased Malcolm a couple weeks ago about him missing his sack. So
yeah,
we're back even now.
He's a bigger quarterback. I mean, he's not that easy to bring down, right?
Yeah, and like I guess you know, as defensive backs, we're not in that situation as often.
That's true.
And you know, with the rules and everything, it's, you know, you try to address, you know, the quarterback a little more gentle, I guess you would say.
Hey, Ronnie, looking ahead of the Minnesota game, I'm curious. You know, here's a situation where clearly, you know, Stephon Diggs have an issue with the quarterback, who's all right, you know. He's an all right player. Not the best, he's not the worst. Do you talk some smack on the field in a situation where you know a wide receiver's frustrated with his quarterback? If there's a non-completion, do you give him a little verbal jab like, yo, dude, why are you even running here? This quarterback can't get to you. Like, do you kind of give him the business a little bit, try to mess with his head a little bit in a situation like that?
I know Stephon personally. We're from the same area. He's a, you know, good player, man. And
he's a great player. He's a tremendous player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, trash talking really, you know, isn't my thing unless, you know, receivers start talking. I just kind of play the game. But, I don't know if you even, you know, make comments on it or if it's even going to, you know, have an effect on him, you know, really.
Yeah. How about recruiting Steph Diggs for the Eagles? Is that a possibility since you know him?
Well, I think we're good over here.
Hey.
It's already crowded on the other side.
There you go. Hey, Ronnie, you know Minnesota well, obviously, from, you know, a couple of years ago. This is an important game, both you guys 3-2. And in early mindset, what are your thoughts as you look ahead of Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, short and sweet, man. I think, you know, their defense plays lights out at home. The offensive, you know, they've been looking very well. I mean, we know they got Stephon, they got Thielen, and Dalvin Cook. So we're going to have our hands full. But ultimately, I think it comes down to whoever the best defense is that game, that team's going to win. So we got to come out this week with the same attitude that we did this past week. Set the tone for our team, establish ourselves early, and just dominate the entire game.
We know that they want to run the ball. Dalvin Cook is an amazing back. We know that that's a priority for Mike Zimmer, their head guy. You know, hey, we're going to run it because that matters. Are we as fans dumb to just automatically assume that you guys are going to stop everybody on the ground? Like, I don't worry about it. You know, I think about a game like this against a team that wants to run it, and I'm like, you know what? The Eagles got it handled. They're great against the run. How much effort goes into that? Because we just assume you're going to do it automatically.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of effort that goes into it, and it's just paying attention to details. And like I said, that's credit to the guys on the front seven, man. They take it serious. And they pride themselves on being, or we pride ourselves on being a good run stopping defense. So, you know, Jim, man, he harps on it. And, you know, we try to force the ball and put it into the quarterback's hand, make them one-dimensional, and, you know, let our pass rushers go and be great.
Ronnie, congrats on a big win, man. And really one of the truly, I've seen now close to four decades of Eagles football. It was one of the truly great defensive performances I've ever seen. So congratulations on a big win.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is. Rodney McLeod, as always, on the Swartz Culleton guest line. To the phones, right on back, and Gary in Bridesburg. What's happening, Gary?
Hey, guys. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks, Gary.
I want to talk about something that nobody talks about too much. I think it's going to play an important part in the next three games, if they're close, is the kicking game. You know, Elliott and Johnston have to be right on the money. And we saw what happened to the Rams against Seattle, you know, missing those field goals
right.
That was so important. I just hope Jake is perfect.
He's not going to be perfect. I'll tell you this, Gary. I worry about Jake Elliott, but at the same time,
too.
It's not like anything's happened recently that's new information to worry about. I mean, this to me just goes back to the last year and a half where he's been kind of shaky.
I have feeling that you know, these games that are going to be tight, the next six games are going to be tight.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I have a feeling that Jake Elliott might, you know, put us in jeopardy.
He hasn't missed a kick yet this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's my
point.
Why
are we jumping on him? He has not missed a kick.
I'm not jumping on him.
He also has
missed
a kick. Because we've seen him be shaky in the past.
I'm not jumping.
Wait, he did miss a kick in the preseason, right?
I don't want to jinx these guys because they're having a good year so far.
Yeah.
All I wanted to say is that nobody talks about them, and they're an important part of the game, and I'm glad that Sean Hall got in there and got a sack because I called it Saturday night. I was talking late after 2 o'clock. I think it was Anthony. But I said to him, if it's 21-0 at the first half, give this Sean Hall a shot.
Yeah.
Go in there, kid. Show us what you can do. And he's got a high motor.
Look, he got in there. Gary, I'm with you, man. I mean, everyone got in there on that one. It was a good one. The whole defense the second half was crazy. Gary, appreciate the call. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Wager in on all pro sports in a comfortable atmosphere with great food. Online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. All right, today's question. Are people overreacting about the Eagles' offensive struggles yesterday? A, yes, B, no. John, where do you think the results have come in today?
I think more people are going to say yes. Probably like 68% say, overreaction.
56% of people think it has been an overreaction. What were you going to say right there? You had something on your mind.
We don't talk about the kicking game much. They will be important here in the next six weeks. Yesterday, though, when you look at the field position battle, the whole game, we were sitting so pretty.
Dominant.
They were pinned, you know, with their backs to their own end zone.
Part of that,
much
though,
of the game.
The Jets barely got first down.
Well, that's a part of it,
Cam
too.
Cam Johnston's also a pretty damn good punter.
Cam Johnston, now, he was shaky when we first saw him last year, and I thought, I don't know about this guy, but
He does that whole whatever it is, the rugby punt thing, right, where he's, you know, jumping off the ground while kicking, and it has a weird ability to bounce sideways, which is really cool. Like, he's taking it to the next level. He's pretty good.
I've been really impressed with him.
I agree. I have been too, and I didn't want to be, but I am.
Better than the guy on my eighth grade football team who kicked the ball 10 yards backwards one time on a punt.
Was that you, Joe?
Was that guy Joe DiCamera? Was Joe DiCamera the punter, that alone is a sin, that kicked the ball 10 yards backwards on a punt? Mull that one over.
Wait
a
second.
Hold on. I could just read your mind and find out.
Yeah, you got to ask Oz Perlman.
Wait, why would...
It was an accident. It was an accident.
But why were you punting if you obviously can't punt?
It wasn't necessarily me. I'm neither confirming nor denying. Actually, it was not me. It was one of our two best players, but he had a bad moment. Share the camera, John Ritchie on WIP.